Testament characters, Lord, and how, Father, life's not fair. And we just have to get used to it. But Lord, you always have a plan. Help us to believe that, Lord, that it's not just something that's recorded in the Old Testament for us to delight in the lives of these people, Lord God, and see your handiwork. But it's there to remind us that you're the same God, the God who chose Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, put them through, Lord God, all of the things that they went through, Lord, yet your hand was at work. And Lord, whatever we are called to go through, you are still the same God, and you're working out your plan. Help us to trust you. And so, Lord, as we turn to your word tonight to conclude this series, we just ask that the Spirit of the living God would help us to hear what you're saying, please. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. The whole series, Life's Not Fair, Get Used to It, has been a really fascinating series as we look at the lives of Old Testament characters, particularly of Joseph. And we'll be moving, as Dave was saying this morning, in the new year into other areas in that sense. But we're still focusing on Old Testament characters and different things that God is doing. But by now, surely we must realize that life isn't fair. And we just have to get used to it, because there's nothing that we can do about it. In that sense, life is life. And in our series on the life of Joseph, we've sought to show that life consists of good and bad. Bad things happen to good people, as much as good things can often happen to bad people. And Dave said last week, looking at the life of Joseph, looking at his journey from a shepherd boy in Canaan, being sold into slavery in Egypt, falsely accused and imprisoned for attempted rape, through to being made the second in command of Egypt. Through it all, God was overseeing all of it, maneuvering events by dreams, thoughts, and direct interventions that would see his plan come to fruition for Joseph and the people of Israel. You see, Joseph may have cried out many times, and we've given many reasons over the last 3 or 4 months why he may have cried out, life's not fair, as he wondered why bad things were happening to him. I mean, all he had done was be his dad's favorite son. He had no say in that, but his dad made him his favorite, made him this coat of many colors. That's all he had done. He had been his father's favorite. Okay, he touted a few times on his brothers. But in general, he tried to help others. And yet at times, he must have despaired of life. Having been removed from prison for interpreting Pharaoh's dreams of a coming famine and exalted to Pharaoh's right-hand man, Joseph was made the chief administrator dealing with food supplies. And the famine that had spread soon affected his family in Canaan, and his brothers were sent to Egypt to buy grain. Joseph recognized his brothers, but they didn't recognize him. And he played a few wee tricks on them. And they must have thought, life's not fair. Why is this happening to us? But they were also, we're told, racked with guilt, thinking they were getting their comeuppance for what they had previously done to Joseph. Even Joseph's dad, Jacob, could have said, life's not fair, when told lies by his sons that Joseph, his favorite son, had probably been killed by a wild animal, and they actually brought the coat dipped in blood. Life's not fair. Each of these lives, however, each of these lives and events were carefully woven together by divine design, as God could see the end result. What looked like bad things happening to good people and good things happening to bad people was simply life unfolding, but under the guiding hand of divine providence. And so tonight, I want to do a whirlwind tour through Genesis chapters 45 to 50 to get to the conclusion of our series, and hopefully we're going to learn something really important this evening. So here's the whirlwind tour. In chapter 45, Joseph made himself known to his brothers, who were dismayed. However, he reassured them, saying, "Look, guys, God sent me here before you to preserve life." He then sent his brothers home to Canaan to bring their dad and all of the family and possessions back to Egypt, because there was still 5 years of famine to come. And so when Jacob was told that Joseph was actually alive and in Egypt, he just couldn't believe it. He was overwhelmed. And then eventually he said, "Well, I'm going to go to see him before I die." He was 130 years old. In chapter 46, on his way to Egypt, Jacob stopped at Beersheba and offered sacrifices to God, who told him to go on down to Egypt. And God said, "And I'm going to make you a great nation there." And of course, we read that when Jacob and Joseph were reunited, there was much weeping. You could imagine. He believed that his son was dead. Joseph believed that he would probably never see his father again. And the two were brought together. In chapter 47, Joseph introduces his dad to Pharaoh, who gives Jacob and his family the land of Goshen to dwell in and raise their livestock there. In chapter 48, Jacob lives in Goshen in Egypt for 17 years. And then he became ill and was dying. And he blessed Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, giving the greater blessing to the younger, therefore continuing God's plan. In chapter 49, Jacob speaks his last words to his sons, the 12 tribes of Israel, pronouncing upon them what was to be. And then we're told that Jacob died, being 147 years old. And then in the last chapter of Genesis, Joseph organizes his dad's funeral and takes his body home to Canaan, where he is buried in the same place as Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah. Basically, he's buried in the same place as his mum and his dad and his granny and granda. That's where we want to pick up from tonight. So let's read Genesis chapter 50, and we're looking at verse 14 through to the end of the chapter. And after he had buried his father, after Joseph had buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt, he and his brothers and all who went up with him to bury his father. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil we did to him." So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, "Before your father died, he commanded, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' And Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones.' And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. The children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were also brought up on Joseph's knees. And Joseph said to his brethren, 'I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. You see, with their dad dead, Joseph's brothers again thought that Joseph would make them pay for what they did to him years before. They were still, you see, being overcome with guilt. They decided, therefore, to emotionally blackmail Joseph into not harming them by sending servants to him to say, listen, before Dad died, he said that he had hoped that you would forgive us for what we did to you. Will you please forgive us? They then went to Joseph and they fell before him, saying, we are your servants. Basically, look, do whatever you want to do. But Joseph, however, had learned something so wonderful about life, with all of its unfairnesses, its hurts, and its sufferings that it had inflicted upon him. He answered his brothers with these words, do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. You see, through everything that had happened to Joseph, Joseph had come to understand God was working out his plan to save the people of Israel. I am in the place of God. I am exactly where God wants me to be. Joseph knew what his brothers did was evil. However, he said to them, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. The world and life and all of its unfairness can afflict us many, many different ways. But the providence of God can overrule all of those things and mean all of that evil and horrible things for good. God could see the end from the beginning, and he orchestrated events, turning the bad things that happened to Joseph into his wonderful plan to preserve the people of Israel and thus keep his promise and continue his ultimate purpose to bring his son Jesus into the world to save his people from their sins. You see, looking at the life of Joseph without seeing God at work could only be viewed as one life's not fair event after another, which, you know, thankfully worked out in the end. But that's not what happened. God was always at work in and through Joseph's life's experiences, guiding and directing events to fulfill his wonderful will and purpose for Joseph and the people of Israel. You can almost hear God say, I love it when a plan comes together. When you look at the life of Joseph, when you see God's handiwork through it all, there was no mistakes in all of that. Now, God didn't necessarily cause those things to happen. That is life, because life's not fair. But the divine design and the providence of God ensured that the events were orchestrated and maneuvered in such a way that his plan would come to fruition and that Joseph would be used to save many people, to save the people of Israel. So what can we learn from the life of Joseph? What can we learn from the series Life's Not Fair, particularly looking at Joseph? Well, firstly, it shows us that although life's not fair, bad things happen to good people just as much as good things can often happen to bad people, those who hope in God can be absolutely sure that through it all, He's working His plan and His purpose for their lives. You can be absolutely certain of that truth. That's what this story shows us. Secondly, the life of Joseph shows us that what we may view as bad things, difficult life challenges and experiences that we face, can be turned into something wonderful and useful by our God who loves us and promises to work everything for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. So what you may be going through, bad and difficult as it may be, God can turn it all around and into something wonderful and useful by Him to fulfill His purpose in our lives and maybe for the lives of so many others. The third thing that we can learn is life's not fair. And sin-cursed people living in a sin-cursed world can do terrible, sinful things to one another. And yet none of them will go unnoticed by a holy God who has promised that He will make everyone give account of their words, their thoughts, and their actions. He has set a standard in this life that isn't fair. He has set a standard and a principle in life for us all, which is this: whatsoever a person sows, so shall they reap. The fourth thing that we can learn from the life of Joseph is this: God always has a plan. God always has a plan. He planned from the beginning. When Adam and Eve sinned, He planned to rescue sinful man from Satan, sin, and death, and to restore them to a right relationship with Him, so those who hope in Him can be forgiven for their sin and have everlasting life. It was all part of God's plan. Now, here's the interesting thing. We don't know when the plan will end. We know how it will end, but we don't know when it will end. Which means this: that your life and everything that is happening in your life has to be part of God's ultimate plan, because His plan is not complete. Through all the events of Joseph's life, right down through the generations, God worked to bring His plan to save the people of Israel to fruition and fulfillment. Through all the events of Joseph's life, right down the generations, God worked to bring His plan of Jesus coming into the world to die for our sins. God worked to bring that plan to fruition and to fulfillment. Jesus came and died, and on the third day rose again from the dead, thus conquering death and destroying Satan's power. But as I said, God's plan doesn't end there. God has promised through Jesus that He will bring many people to glory, to dwell with Him forever. And He's still working to ensure that that promise is kept for all who believe in Jesus. So are you a part of God's plan? If you are a Christian, then listen again. God has promised through Jesus He will bring many people to glory to dwell with him forever. And he is still working to ensure that promise is kept for all who believe in Jesus. So you are part of God's plan. And whatever you're called to go through, God can work it all out for his glory and for his purpose. So Christian, in light of this truth, whatever life throws at us, those who trust in the Lord can rest assured our loving Father is at work for our good. And who knows what he might do or how he might use us. You see, when you go all the way back to the shepherd boy in Canaan, sent by his dad to go and see his brothers, they see him come and say, let's kill him. Who would have thought that through it all, God was at work? As Dave said, in a whisper, in a thought, in a dream, in some simple way, maneuvering the event. No, we'll not kill him. We'll just throw him into this cistern. Oh, look, there's a bunch of traders going past. We'll just lift him up and we'll sell him. And then he, through it all, till he gets put into prison, wrongly accused, God was at work. Puts in two guys who get jailed for not amusing Pharaoh. And then they are set free because there was a change in heart in Pharaoh. And having had their dreams interpreted, they were able then to, one of them was able to tell Pharaoh, oh, we know somebody who can interpret dreams. He's in prison. This guy called Joseph. And lo and behold, he becomes second in command of Egypt. Why? Because a famine was coming that would have wiped out the people of Israel. Except for God knew the famine was coming, and God knew that the people of Israel needed to come down into Egypt to survive. And what did God do? 13 years earlier, or whatever it was earlier, took a hold of Joseph and says, guess what, shepherd boy? Boom. I need you in here. And through all that happened, God was at work. Now, I'll say this again. Whatever life throws at you, those who trust in the Lord can rest assured our loving Father is at work for our good. And you have no idea what he might do or how he might use you. But his plan for you will come together. And when you go to meet him and you see the Lord face to face, you can nearly hear him saying, I love it when a plan comes together. So let's trust in the Lord. Let's commit all of our ways onto him. Who knows what he might do? But we know this. He knows how to lead us to where he wants us to be, so that we too can say, like Joseph, no matter what we're going through, no matter where we're at, I am in the place of God. I am exactly where God wants me to be. Maybe tonight there's an unbeliever here, person not yet a Christian, maybe listening to the podcast. Well, let me tell you that God has a plan for your life. But are you prepared to submit to him and to it? Or will you live your life your way and face the unfairnesses of life in your own strength? You see, God's ways are not guaranteed to be free from dangers, toils, and snares, as the hymn writer says. But his ways are the very best ways, and they lead to life. Your ways, living your life your way, leads to death and eternal separation from God. God's ways lead to life. Which will you choose? Let's pray. Heavenly Father,